Despiértate, que el $4 Breakfast Meal Deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un Sausage McMuffin o Sausage Biscuit, Hash Brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu Meal Deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. He is German Airy. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. 3 hours, Joe, to react to what we saw on the Monday night football finale of week number 2 of this 2024 NFL season. A thriller in Philadelphia with the Falcons storming back in the final minute and a half in an utter collapse from the Birds. Those would be the home Birds, the Eagles, on Monday night. Some big quarterback news around the National Football League as well. Is the number one overall pick from 2023, Bryce Young, done as a starter in the National Football League? We shall debate. Some early thoughts into college football in the home stretch. Less than 2 weeks remain in this 2024 MLB regular season with the hunt for October front and center. All of that, Ranieri, over these 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern.
And it almost feels like, Ben, I keep looking at the calendar. I'm like, oh, is it October? No, we're in the middle of September here, Ben. We still got plenty more football and, of course, postseason baseball to come.
A lot of football to come. We enter week number 4 of this 2024 college football season as well, where all eyes will be focused on Stillwater. That's Joe Ranieri's alma mater of Oklahoma State in a top 15 tilt in the Big 12 opener against Utah in a quarterback battle between the elder statesmen around the country. All of that here over these 3 hours. But of course, we start with the end of weekend number 2 of this 2024 NFL season. It should have been a Philadelphia win in the home opener at the Link. Instead, the Falcons go 70 yards in 6 plays and in 65 seconds in the final minute and 39 seconds to beat Philadelphia 22-21. The Falcons win outright as a 5.5-point underdog in the city of brotherly love. A total of 45.5 stays under. Philly had a chance with about half a minute left to maybe get into long range field goal distance for Jake Elliott. But Jalen Hurts was intercepted by Atlanta safety Jesse Bates. That's how the game came to a close. Kirk Cousins picks up his first win with the Dirty Birds, and Atlanta wins outright out of nowhere as a 5.5-point underdog in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Ben, a lot to unpack in this game, but I will just say this. If you are an Atlanta Falcon fan, the reason you went out and spent the money to go out and get him is exactly what happened last night. In no other year with any other quarterback, except you go back to the Matt Ryan days, do you win that game last night if it's not Kirk Cousins as your quarterback? That is why you went out and paid him, and it paid dividends last night.
Yes, it certainly did, Joe. In 2022, his final full year in Minnesota, of course, was injured in the 8th game a season ago. He led 8 game-winning drives. That was the most around the National Football League. It's what Cousins did last night in Philadelphia. So here is the story of the game that we will continue to break down. Nick Sirianni and the Eagles just decide to pass the football on 3rd and 3 with 1:46 left at the Atlanta 10-yard line. Saquon Barkley was open, would have moved the sticks. He dropped the football. It leads to a Jake Elliott chip shot. Philadelphia takes a 6-point lead. But because of that, Time stopped. The Falcons got the ball back. And again, they drove the length of the field, 70 yards in only six plays, and in just a minute and 5 seconds to steal a victory from the jaws of defeat in Philadelphia. Plenty more from Monday Night Football, what it means for both of these teams and their season outlooks in just a little bit. The Atlanta Falcons were the odds-on favorites, Joe, to win the NFC South before the year got started. They are now at least 1-1. Looking up, though, at the Buccaneers and the Saints, but looking well behind, that's the Carolina Panthers, who made a rather shocking decision yesterday to bench the 2023 number one overall selection, Bryce Young, for Carolina's Week 3 contest. The veteran Andy Dalton, the Red Rocket, will get the start. But, Joe, Bryce Young, the number one overall pick just 2 years ago now rides the pine.
The pure definition of a dumpster fire. When you look it up, we'll have a picture of the Carolina Panthers in it. Yep. I feel terrible for Bryce Young, who has been basically under fire ever since he got drafted and got into this league here and not getting a whole lot of help. But it is clear to me, Ben, you're working for an organization that loves to fire coaches after one year. It would seem to me like Canales is going, well, we don't write this. I got to do something here. Otherwise, I'm out of a job. Which, you know who that doesn't help? Bryce Young.
Yep. After a disastrous 0-2 start, losing each game by at least 22 points, Carolina makes the move. The Panthers, a 5.5-point road underdog in Las Vegas against the Raiders on Sunday afternoon. Again, plenty more from that discussion in what Bryce Young's future is going to be in Charlotte and in the National Football League. It has been a disastrous start for Carolina. Same story from the injury perspective for the Rams. Now 0-2, blown out in the desert by the Cardinals on Sunday. And Cooper Kupp exited the game early with an ankle injury. Sean McVay telling reporters he's likely to head to injured reserve. Jonah Jackson, another offensive lineman, probably going to the IR, as well as secondary member John Johnson III. They'll join Puka Nacua and several other O linemen. Ranieri, after 2 weeks, the Rams' IR list might already be full.
Yeah, and the thing that won't be full is last place in the West, because that's exactly where the Rams are going to find themselves, unfortunately, most of this season. It is a shame, but I don't know how after 2 weeks, and injuries happen, we get it, but the cluster of injuries here with the Rams in that division, because everybody else has gotten better, Ben, I don't know how they overcome this. I really don't.
Lombardi Trophy in 2021 in Los Angeles. 2022, injuries plagued the season. They missed the playoffs. Last year, healthier, a 10-win football team into the postseason. Injuries a huge deal already after only 2 weeks. Injuries will be front and center for the Rams' home opener in SoFi Week 3, hosting the San Francisco 49ers. Los Angeles, 7.5-point underdog, but we're not going to see Christian McCaffrey for the Niners, placed on injured reserve, and it seems Debo Samuel might be heading there as well. A calf injury that is going to sideline him for at least the next few weeks.
Yeah, you wanted extra games, man. You wanted a longer season, right? Well, get ready for more guys earlier on in the season hitting the IR and not being seen until, what probably would have been the regular season a few years ago.
Yep, that's kind of the story of the National Football League, at least at this point. You hope to avoid injury luck. Now we go to college football. A change in a starting quarterback for the reigning national champs, but not based on injury, just overwhelming poor offensive results out of Davis Warren. So as Michigan gets ready to host USC on Saturday afternoon in Ann Arbor, Alex Orji becomes the starting quarterback for the Maize and Blue. Feel free to make your Trojan and Orji jokes on your own time.
I really have nothing else to add there, Ben. I think it kind of wrote itself. I think we're good to go right there. I won't add to that at all. I'll just smile. Go ahead.
We'll have some stats outside of the jokes for Orji as they get ready to host Southern Cal on Saturday. Major League Baseball recaps from a short Monday slate. The Dodgers split the series, a 4-game extended set in Atlanta with a 9-0 victory yesterday, capped off by a 3-run blast from Freddie Freeman against his former team.
All those hits came in like the last couple of innings. Yeah. They were right in the sixth or seventh inning. It was kind of the cluster of hits, and that's all you needed. That was all she wrote for the Dodgers.
Six runs, seventh inning for L.A. So the Braves lose, and the Mets walk it off in extras at home against the Nationals. The pinch hitter, Starling Marte, delivers the game-winning RBI. New York now has a one-game lead for that final NL wild card spot. More for Monday Night Football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Monday Night Football finale to week two of the 2024 NFL season. Last night in Philadelphia between the Eagles and the Falcons. A battle of the birds. Kirk Cousins in primetime. Philly's home opener. Third consecutive year, Kirk leads a team into Philadelphia under the lights in week number two. But unlike the previous two trips as a member of the Vikings, this one with the Falcons ends in a victory, in a wild ending, in a thriller in Philly, depending on what side you had or who you were rooting for last night. Story of the game, Joe. Final 2 minutes. The Philadelphia Eagles driving down the field deep into Atlanta territory around the Falcons' 10-yard line. The Falcons spent all three of their timeouts. There's a minute 46 remaining on third and three. Nick Sirianni and the Eagles decide to throw it. And frankly, it was the right call. Jalen Hurts bootlegs out, sees Saquon Barkley wide open in the flat. Had the pass been completed, Saquon walks to a first down, and the game probably ends right there. Except Saquon did not complete the catch. He dropped it. Clock stops. Jake Elliott makes a short chip shot. Philly takes a 21-15 lead. But in the next minute and 5 seconds after the kickoff, Kirk Cousins leads the Falcons 70 yards down the field in only six plays and 65 ticks to find Drake London for the game-winning touchdown. And then, oh, Drake London got penalized for an excessive celebration, so it moved the PAT back by 15 yards. It was a 48-yarder that Younghoe Koo had to strike, and he did. The Falcons win outright in a thrilling comeback in the final 30 seconds, 22-21, as a 5.5-point underdog on the road in Philadelphia to spoil the home debut for the Birds.
The old coulda, woulda, a lot of armchair quarterbacking in Philadelphia here this morning, Ben, with what could have been. Do you throw to Saquon, even though it was a great throw and the right call, but he dropped it? And, of course, do you not hand the ball off there and run out the clock? The odds, the percentages all say you just keep that clock rolling. All of that is hindsight, and none of it has to do with the fact that the Philadelphia Eagles – got zero pressure on a quarterback coming off an Achilles injury who can barely move, who's running everything out of the pistol, which is something he's never done before in his career. And yet you didn't make him uncomfortable in any way, shape, or form. And you know who the worst rushing defense is in the NFL right now, giving up almost 7 yards a carry? That would be the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know why you went out and poached Huff from the Jets, because he's been nowhere to be found in two games. They got serious issues defensively. I'm not worried offensively with Philadelphia. The wart for people and what everyone in Philly should be talking about today is forget the play call. What in the hell happened to your defense in that game? And how come you can't get to a, you know, almost a 40-year-old Kirk Cousins on a bad leg? I just don't get it, Ben. That's the question I have this morning.
Philadelphia generated only one sack last night, came early in the third quarter. Kirk Cousins was sacked just twice in the home opener for Atlanta against the Steelers in week number one. But T.J. Watt was consistently in Atlanta's backfield each and every play, it felt like. I still think Kirk is dreaming, or rather having nightmares about T.J. Watt and that Steelers front, even way back from week number one. And Joe, you're right. Run the football there. You don't pick up the first down. You still kick the field goal. There's probably just over a minute remaining. Would it have mattered as Kirk Cousins led the Falcons down the field in only a minute and 5 seconds? That remains to be seen. And that's actually my biggest issue with the end of game management, whether it be clock, personnel, decision-making, schematics, and play calls. I will never understand why defenses, when they know they cannot give up a touchdown with a minute and a half, 60 seconds remaining, play soft shell coverage and do not try to do anything. They rush three, they sit back in zone, as long as they don't get beat, it's fine. We have seen that time and again. Stick to what you do. I thought Vic Fangio, one of the brightest defensive minds in the sport, would do that. Darnell Mooney was wide open on every single play down the left sideline. They even mention it on the Manning cast as Peyton Eli and former Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan are watching Kirk just dice up that Philadelphia secondary. Kirk Cousins in primetime finished with 249 yards, well over his pregame passing yards prop of 224 and a hook. 70 of those 249 came virtually uncontested on that final drive in only six plays and in just 65 seconds of game clock. They were talking about it on the broadcast, how easy it was. They were running the same play. It's all Kirk knows, and now just his second game in a Falcons uniform. So many disastrous decisions by Philadelphia at the end. And for a team that collapsed last year down the stretch, it's one game, it's week two, but it's a collapse in the final minute and a half when you needed to win your home opener to get off to a 2-0 start.
At home in that spot, there is zero reason why they should not have won that game, won it easily without a sweat. And even with that final drive, inexcusable to allow Cousins to go five or six for 70 yards in just about a minute there. And that was all she wrote for you. You kind of had a feeling at that point, Ben, that, yeah, they're done here, folks. But great for those that had Atlanta at plus 5.5 or plus 6, because it appears the entire world then was on the public big time on the Eagles. They had to be throwing up watching that take place, especially those with the Eagles in survivor pools there, Ben. Ouch.
Yes, ouch. Certainly so, Joe. 5.5-point spread. The Falcons win outright. We saw a ton of hefty underdogs win outright in week number two. The three big ones in the early window, everybody getting 6.5 in those three outright victories. The Saints, the Bucks, and of course, the Raiders over the Ravens. Teams that have been booked as a 5.5-point underdog or greater in the first 2 weeks of this NFL season, 9-1 against the spread with five outright victories. We'll talk about the season outlook because, again, it's one game. We overreact. We have our sweeping takeaways. But is it a true overreaction or is it just a reaction? Are we seeing anything that could paint a sour picture the rest of the year, like the Eagles' front seven trying to stop the run? We'll talk about it up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So in our takeaways from Monday Night Football, to finish out week number two, are there any glaring issues that we think will plague either organization, Atlanta, or Philadelphia for the remainder of 2024? Let's start with the Falcons from a positive perspective, Joe. They lost game number one, Kirk Cousins' Atlanta debut. They were the odds-on favorites entering the year in the NFC South at minus 140. Expected to win the division rather easily, be a double-digit team. An offense that was supposed to be prolific. Then the 36-year-old quarterback in his first year with a new team coming off a torn Achilles did not look good week one. The offense put up 10 points against the Steelers. They lost outright at home as a 4.5-point favorite. And they were booked as a 5.5-point favorite on the road against an Eagles team that had the second best price entering last night to win the NFC. It seemed as though the Falcons were about to start in a winless hole, 0-2, where the Saints and the Bucks had surprised some and looked highly impressive in the opening two weekends, starting 2-0. And then the final minute and 30 seconds of the game happened. Atlanta comes from behind to steal a victory on the road in Philadelphia. How has your vantage point then, Joe, changed for the Falcons after only one night in Philly?
So the I got to say, what they signed Cousins and Mooney in free agency, and that was kind of their big moves, right, to kind of take this offense to a different level. Well, we all know under Arthur Smith, they wanted to be a run first offense. The problem was once you took the run away from them, they had no quarterback. They had nothing else to lean back on. When you look at how they ran that offense last night, that is the Atlanta Falcons. That's exactly what they have been trying to do for the last 3 years. They rushed for 152 yards. Bijan Robinson, why they went out and drafted him so high, 97 yards, 14 carries. Algiers was also added 53 on 9 carries. And that is why you went out and signed Kirk Cousins. That is who this Atlanta team is. Run the ball effectively, force defenses to stop the run, and allow that to open up things downfield for Mooney and others. That is a good, very good offense there with Atlanta, the best we've seen them have in a while.
Troy Aikman discussed it on the broadcast. This is a great run-blocking offensive line that prides themselves on doing that as a unit. They were just trailing from the very start against a stout Steelers team in week one. Never really got the opportunity to put that on display. And you're right with Bijan Robinson. 122 scrimmage yards yesterday, 14 carries for 97 yards, well over his rushing plus receiving yards prop of 102 and a hook. Same story for Saquon Barkley, who had a buck 16 in terms of his scrimmage yards as well, 95 on the ground, 21 through the receiving game as well, but the costly drop on that final offensive possession for Philadelphia will stick in the craw. He should have had a touchdown, was just down inches prior to the goal line, so the tush push allowed Jalen Hurts to find the end zone. Hurts 85 yards on the ground. And a lot has been made of Kirk Cousins in primetime. Now after the victory last night, he's 13-20 straight up in his career. He's 4-10 in Monday Night Football specifically. But as we said, Joe, and I thought it was a great point, in 2022 with the Vikings leading Minnesota to an NFC North championship, he had 8 game-winning drives that led the National Football League. And he was the orchestrator of it all in those 65 seconds to bring Atlanta down the field and to find Drake London for that game-winning score. And part of what Atlanta did last night, they only allowed one sack to their hobbled Kirk Cousins, who still does not look 100% healthy, but better last night. They had a buck 52 on the ground, 5.4 yards per pop. The Eagles allowed 163 yards against the Packers in Sao Paulo. Okay, field conditions weren't great. People were slipping and sliding all Friday night long in that Brazilian opener, but still nearly 8 yards per carry for Green Bay. The Eagles had the second worst passing defense in the NFL a season ago, Joe. The rushing defense not off to a great start, eighth worst around the National Football League. And for me, that could be the issue for Philly moving forward.
6.7 yards a rush. That is dead last in the NFL when it comes to rushing defense. It's very hard to win games if you are giving up nearly 7 yards every time they run the ball. And that is what the Eagles defense has done through two games. That's where I need to see the improvement. I think the offense will be fine, but that defense better show us something over the next couple of weeks here, Ben.
The Birds still the favorites at minus 140 to win the NFC East. We know the curse or the trend, whatever you want to call it. No repeat champion since 04. It is the only division of the 8 in football, that being the NFC East, without an unbeaten, perfect 2-0 team after 2 weeks. Plenty more around the NFL following week 2 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last night was a big victory for the Atlanta Falcons, coming back when everybody thought they were about to start 0-2 in the NFC South to win outright as a 5.5-point underdog in Philadelphia over the Eagles. If they had started out winless, they would be at the bottom of the NFC South, looking up at the Saints and the Bucs, both off to a perfect unbeaten 2-0 start, despite being the odds-on favorites to win the division. The Saints are still the favorites following week 2. The Bucs still have a slightly better price than that of the Dirty Birds, also following week 2. But at least they're not in the cellar of the division alongside the Carolina Panthers. A shocking move yesterday in a huge development in Charlotte. After only 2 weeks, the number one overall selection from 2023, Bryce Young, is now going to be on the bench. Andy Dalton is the new starting quarterback in Carolina. You send the number one overall pick to the bench, and you elevate the veteran Dalton to become your starting quarterback. The Panthers, a 5.5-point road underdog in Las Vegas for week number 3. A disastrous, winless 0-2 start for Carolina, Joe, after being the worst team in the National Football League a season ago at 2-15. What was your reaction to Dave Canales' decision to bench Bryce Young yesterday?
Am I shocked that they did it? No. Am I shocked maybe they did it after 2 games? From the outside looking in, Ben, it may seem like, what are you guys doing here? Isn't this your franchise quarterback? Aren't you, you know, ride or die with them? When you look at it, Ben, through 2 starts this year, Bryce Young is the one quarterback that has faced the least amount of pressure of any starting quarterback in the NFL. Yep. And yet he's only thrown for 84 yards on 26 pass attempts. And when I tell you most of those pass attempts weren't even close, there is clearly something broken here. And I think if the coach legit thinks that the best thing for this guy to do is kind of sit down, because he's obviously in his own head at this point, Ben. I mean, he's been it since he got into the league. He has been the most scrutinized top draft pick that we've seen in a very, very long time. You know, mentally, it's got to take its toll. And I think if Canales figures the best thing that can happen is let Dalton, let the vet get in here, get some snaps, let him take the pressure off and kind of regroup, and we'll take it from there. They're not planning on winning a Super Bowl. That was never what was in the cards. But if you're going to lose him mentally, then you got to get him off the field, Ben. You're not going to help this kid if you keep him out there the way you've been doing it.
So that's the interesting component of this all. You can understand from Dave Canales' perspective, and as we heard from ESPN's Adam Schefter, Dave Canales' first big boy decision is what one source told him. GM Dan Morgan probably involved in this as well. But a lot that happens in Carolina comes from the very top in their temperamental owner, David Tepper, who many have speculated is the reason Carolina selected Bryce Young first overall in favor of CJ Stroud, despite maybe what head coach Frank Reich wanted to do at the time in April of 2023. That will be revisionist history in a documentary, I am sure, at some point. But with that being said, you can understand why a rookie head coach would go and trust a veteran as he is trying to show his team, listen, I understand. I want confidence in this locker room. I want us to be competitive. I want us to win football games. And Dalton might present Carolina's best opportunity of doing that. I'll tell you this. I'm going to bet the Panthers +5.5 on the road in Vegas on Sunday afternoon. It just feels like that spot, of course. But now let's talk about the number one overall pick in 2023. Joe, I had no issue with Carolina selecting Bryce Young in favor of CJ Stroud at the time, despite his stature. He was a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback at Alabama in 2021. He was one of the most successful college QBs we had seen in quite some time. He looks like a shell of his former self. But Bryce Young, in his last 12 games dating back to the middle of his rookie season, has thrown for less than 200 yards, 11 of those 12 games. He threw for 84 yards, 84 only against the Bolts on Sunday. He has made 18 career starts. He has 11 touchdowns to only 13 interceptions. He only has thrown for more than 250 yards one single time. It was week 16 last year against Green Bay when he threw for 312 and 2 touchdowns. It was closer than expected, but Carolina still came up on the losing end. All to say, it has been a disaster to start Bryce Young's career in Carolina in the National Football League. So let me ask you about his career. Is it done with the Panthers? Is he going to be a trade piece? Are they moving on from Bryce Young permanently with this move to change quarterbacks entering week 3?
Well, I think as crazy as this is, Ben, his future with Carolina is going to be dependent on what we get from Andy Dalton. because I think what happens by inserting Dalton is now you're going to figure out, is this a Bryce Young problem or is this coaching offense and the players they have, are they the problem? Because if Andy Dalton doesn't have any more success than what that offense had with Bryce Young, then we've got to take a step back then and go, is this really a Bryce Young problem or is this offense Canales put in, is it awful? So I do think at the very least over the next couple of weeks, we're going to learn about, is this a schematic issue? Are these players awful? Or is it Bryce Young? I think that's what Andy Dalton will let us know. And if this offense all of a sudden starts putting up points and starts winning games, then I think that spells the end of Bryce Young in Carolina and maybe the NFL.
And listen, hand up. On our season preview pick six, I said the Panthers to go over 5.5, expecting better from Bryce Young under the offensive mind that is Dave Canales, could be a good bet. 6-7 wins, not a playoff team, not a conference or division contender in the NFC South. It's been anything but. And Carolina now has an updated win total of 3.5. And frankly, out of the performances in the first 2 weeks, I'm not sure how they even get there. To go winless, it's a 19-1 price. And Joe, we talk about this often through the odds from the handicapping perspective. An underdog can be an underdog that we expect to see improvement and growth year over year if they kept games closer than we maybe expected the previous season or earlier in the campaign. For instance, the Arizona Cardinals last year, an underdog like Carolina in all 17 games in 2023, they were 9-8 against the spread. They cover week one in Buffalo. Of course, they blow out the Rams week number two. Carolina's been the opposite of that. 4-11-2 ATS as an underdog in all 17 games last season. 0-2 against the spread and in a large, large way this year in 2024. So you just mentioned it. Bryce Young's future could be determined by the results that the Red Rocket Andy Dalton puts on the gridiron. Will it look better from the very start week three in Las Vegas?
Well, the market certainly thought so, Ben, because you had mentioned it. That was 6.5. It's now 5.5 once the news came out. You know what else got steamed? The total. The total was in the 30s. I think we're at the 41, 41.5 right now. I think it was 38, 38.5. So the minute that Bryce Young was pulled, the market was like, hell yeah, give me a Panthers offense with the Red Rocket and give me the over in points. There are some very winnable games coming up, Ben, on their schedule. So again, I think the future of Bryce Young depends on what this team does over the next few weeks.
Yeah, we shall see. Listen, it is not a good situation in Carolina. Mm-hmm. When you look at the odds for the Panthers to win a Super Bowl, they have the longest price by more than $200. They are 700-1 right now. The Broncos have the second longest number at 500-1. It is not an optimistic picture for Carolina, for Bryce Young, frankly, even Andy Dalton entering week number three. Other big news, mainly injury related around the National Football League following 2 weeks. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Part of the sad reality of the National Football League, your season outlook and your offseason expectations can be derailed only 2 weeks into the NFL season. Carolina makes the change at quarterback. Bryce Young now on the bench. Andy Dalton, the starter. Is it enough for a team that's win total has dropped by 2 from 5.5 before the year got started now to a live 3.5 to maybe find some more winning ways in Charlotte? They've got 2 victories since the beginning of last season. And Joe, entering this year, everybody thought if the Rams could remain healthy with a veteran quarterback, Matthew Stafford, much like they did in 2023, Los Angeles would be right back into the postseason. They've been the opposite of healthy. They have been heavily injured from the very start on the offensive line, and in the wide receiver room. Puka Nacua already on the injured reserve, and it seems as though Cooper Kupp might be joining him, exiting the blowout in Arizona on Sunday afternoon with an ankle injury. He is expected to be placed on the IR, as well as DB Josh Johnson III and starting offensive guard Jonah Jackson. It could not be much worse in L.A. than it is. And frankly, Joe, it's starting to look like the 2022 Super Bowl hangover year following that Lombardi Trophy in 2021.
I mean, it's so unfortunate too, right? Because you don't know how many more years of Matt Stafford you're going to be able to squeeze out there, and you've got the quarterback that you want, but you know his top two targets gone, right? Puka Nacua, you mentioned multiple weeks. Cooper Kupp now, what a shock in a walking boot after getting tackled. We thought they'd be able to weather the Nacua injury because they had Cooper Kupp, and now they don't have either. I think they only had one or two offensive linemen that actually finished the game that were starters, Jonah Jackson and Kevin Dotson. Everybody else, it's the even the backups to the backup are getting hurt there. Tyler Higbee, by the way, still on the physically unable to perform list. He's rehabbing a torn ACL. I don't know how the Rams are going to overcome, especially defensively, what we just watched the Cardinals do to them. The Seahawks are significantly improved from a year ago. How did they finish anything other than dead last in this division is beyond me, Ben.
You know, it's really difficult, Joe. You mentioned the offensive line injuries. Rob Havenstein, starting right tackle, hasn't played this year. Yep. On the other side, Joe Noteboom started the game against Detroit, did not play last week, maybe is on his way back, but it's disastrous. Again, a 5-12 record in 2022. Matthew Stafford, the main injury. Cooper Kupp on injured reserve. Aaron Donald was even banged up through most of that year as well. Aaron Donald is no longer there. The Rams have the third worst rushing defense in the NFL at this point. They've been getting it handed to them in their first two games. And it was supposed to be, hey, at least a home opener. Yeah, against the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday, but still a home opener inside SoFi Stadium for the first time this year. Does not look overly optimistic. We'll talk about that game and the injuries that are front and center in the main narrative entering Sunday afternoon in the City of Angels. But Joe, in 2022, with all the injuries, we saw Baker Mayfield in a Rams uniform in 2022. The Rams were 5-12. It is the worst record ever for a team defending a Super Bowl crown. And sure, we had one additional game for the first time of that Super Bowl hangover, but it was the worst Super Bowl hangover we had seen in the history of the National Football League. Every other reigning Super Bowl champ had at least won six games. The Rams were just 5-12. So again, the Rams will be at home week three, winless, looking for their first. Maybe the only good news for the Rams is they're a hefty underdog, and we've seen heavy underdogs this year perform very well. Underdogs of at least 6 points. Now 8-0 against the number following week two. The Rams are in that category, getting 7.5 against San Francisco. And the 49ers, not exactly your bill of health entering week number three. Christian McCaffrey on injured reserve, and Deebo Samuel might be joining him. An injured calf that has been reported. Deebo is going to miss at least a few weeks for San Francisco. So the Niners and the Rams, who's even going to be out there on Sunday?
It's a great question. This is usually a pretty good rivalry, Ben, if memory serves me right, over the last couple of years, at least when you had a healthy Stafford anyway. They usually go toe-to-toe, but the best shot for the Rams is, number one, I got to see better defensively than what we got against Arizona. I mean, in the first 7 minutes, you were down 21-0. You had no answer for Marvin Harrison Jr. The game was a blowout from the start, and that's not great. And that has nothing to do with the injuries offensively or anything else. Defensively, they couldn't stop a nosebleed. I think that all these injuries on the offensive line, you are going to get blown out by the 49ers. I don't care what shape they're in if you can't stop anybody. And I think defensively, much more concerning for the Rams from what we just saw than anything else right now.
Again, you look at the Rams, third worst rushing defense in the NFL, only Carolina, who, oh boy, that's going to be tough all year long, regardless of who the QB is, and Indianapolis, who gave up more than 300 to Green Bay this past weekend when Matt LaFleur said, listen, we got Malik Willis, we're establishing the run. Those are the two worst rushing defenses. The Rams have given up a buck 97 per game, 231 in week two against Arizona. I know that Deebo Samuel's not going to be there. Brandon Ayuk needs to be better. He's been off to a very slow start after getting paid late in the offseason, right before the year got started. Give me Jordan Morris when the rushing yards props come out for that Sunday afternoon contest. Of course, Miami dealing with some quarterback concerns, the health of Tua Tagovailoa, Skylar Thompson, who has made at least a couple of starts in his NFL career. So the Dolphins are signing former Pro Bowl. We say that with legitimacy, but of course, he wasn't really the Pro Bowl guy. It was Lamar Jackson. Regardless, Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley, making his way to Miami. A little bit of depth in the quarterback room.
Yeah, can you hear that? The parade outside, Ben, down by me. You hear? I mean, they are celebrating in the streets of my... No, actually, nobody's celebrating. Yeah. Nobody cares. It's going to be a long season for the Miami Dolphins.
Listen, I don't know about Snoop Huntley and Mike McDaniel's offensive system. It's not exactly the same offensive system that he was good at in Baltimore. Plenty more on the early line. Comes your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
From the National Football League now to college football, quarterback news, injury news, that's front and center always following a week in the NFL. Same story in Ann Arbor following week three of the 2024 college football season. For the reigning national champs, the Michigan Wolverines. It has been not exactly a picture-perfect start, Joe, for the reigning champs this year or at the quarterback spot. They got drubbed by Texas at home. They are 0-3 against the spread in non-conference games despite a 2-1 straight-up record. So Sharon Moore, in his debut year as the head man of the Maize and Blue, makes a change at the quarterback spot. Davis Warren, now on the bench. Alex Orji will make his first career start for the Wolverines as Michigan gets ready to host USC on Saturday afternoon. Alex Orji now steps up and in. Joe, throughout fall camp, there was a quarterback competition between Orji, Warren. They were hoping the veteran, the Indiana transfer from San Diego, Jack Tuttle. But he is really still dealing with a shoulder injury, did not really factor into the quarterback race. So now Alex Orji, who is described more as an athlete, run first quarterback as opposed to your pure passer, takes the reins. Here's what I will say for Michigan against USC. They are going to run the football. Orji played in three possessions last week against Arkansas State. Did throw a touchdown on his opening offensive drive to start off the fourth quarter, but then two punts in only seven plays to follow. He was 2 of 4 for 12 yards, a touchdown toss. He has two touchdown throws this year and 10 carries on the ground for 58 total yards. Is it a good sign that Michigan is making the move at the quarterback position, or is it worrisome that they have to make this change already?
Well, it's very worrisome that they had to move on from Warren. But, I mean, when you throw, what, your sixth interception of the season against Arkansas State, like you got to get something different here. And listen, I think we can all agree that, you know, J.J. McCarthy, who feels like he was there for, what, 19 years? There was going to be a serious turnover on the offensive side of the ball this year. I think everybody knew it. You were hoping that the defense would be good enough to carry you, and hopefully you'd be able to figure it out with one of these two guys, Ben. But that's a big ask. And now you've got one of the most explosive offensive teams in the country that you got to take on in USC. And how are you going to play from behind? And that's the problem. You're not going to be able to run your way to a victory because I doubt very much they're going to be able to play from in front. I think this has got Texas written all over it again.
look at where you stand from this perspective. Now, a 5.5-point spread in favor of USC. When this line opened up in the summer months, Southern Cal was a 9.5-point road underdog in Ann Arbor. USC, of course, now ranked 11th in the country. Michigan has moved back to number 18. So you've got a USC team that is higher ranked than the reigning national champs and now a substantial road favorite when that was not necessarily what we expected entering this year. We thought it would be a USC team still developing with Miller Moss now as the starting quarterback and the heir apparent to Caleb Williams in year three under Lincoln Riley. But in fact, our questions are with Michigan. Alex Orji played in 6 games last year, 15 carries for 86 yards. He did not need to start. He came in during blowout times or with offensive schemes designed for him to run the football. 15 carries for 86 yards, but not a single passing attempt last year. Davis Warren this year, it was a struggle. Against Arkansas State, he was perfect. A pass did not hit the ground. 11 of 14 for 122 yards. In 3 interceptions, did not throw a touchdown. He had 2 touchdowns to 6 interceptions in his 3 starts this year, averaging less than .150 through the air. The good for Michigan against the Red Wolves on Saturday, they had 301 rushing yards as a team with 3 touchdowns. Kalel Bowling's 15 carries for .153 on the ground and 2 scores. Even Donovan Edwards, more than 80 yards and a touchdown. But the bad news is Arkansas State is a terrible rushing defense. USC much improved in their first 2 games on that side of the football. And Joe, when you look at the Wolverines, I think the decision to move to Alex Orji is actually a statement on this year being a disappointing one following a national championship. Look at where the market has moved on the maize and blue. And if the odds are correct, Michigan might be off to a 2-2 start with all 4 games inside the Big House this season.
Yeah, what it sounds to me like, Ben, is that nobody's buying Michigan and the Wildcat offense they're about to roll out here and think that it's going to have any success. They'll beat the teams they're supposed to beat. There's that.
They're the underdog this week, and they lost as an underdog to Texas. Hour 2 is up next.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Over time, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and 2 times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.